S-R-N. Welcome to a special bonus episode of Cinema Crespo Disco, specifically the first ever Crespo Disco. Welcome to the Crespo Disco for reals, yo.
Oh man, do we need to get a shiny mirror ball? We need a disco ball.
Do you have a disco ball?
We need a bigger one.
Okay, we need a bigger one. Obviously, we need a bigger one. If you overlook the disco ball hanging over us right now,
like I said, we need a bigger disco ball. This thing is just not big enough.
Maybe we just need to shine a brighter light on it.
Ooh,
that would work. Isn't that how that works?
How about both?
Bigger balls,
brighter lights.
Brighter lights. Bigger balls, brighter lights, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Welcome to the first ever. Welcome to the first ever Crespo Disco. You know how it works. If one person requests a music heavy episode or a music specific episode, then it's just a request. But if two people request a Crespo Disco, that is a mandate from the people, and we must deliver.
It only takes two.
Yeah. These days.
You're going to get a lot of mandates, bro.
You would think so. You would think so. Now that they know how easy it is to get something done around here.
Seriously.
So this is your Crespo Disco, your first ever one. We're going to do one of these a month. So this is Crespo Disco October 2013. And since it's the first one, we're going to talk about the music that we grew up listening to, the stuff that got us started. Still, obviously, you're going to try to figure out a format for this. I think I'm a format-y kind of guy. You know, that's just, I like structure.
You like boxes and squares and
lines. I like boxes that we can. I like lines, drawing the lines that we can then color outside of. You know.
Okay.
That's how I like. You got to know the rules
before you break them.
Exactly, man.
Well, there have to be rules to break before you can break rules.
So what we're gonna do for rules is five songs. We picked five songs each from when we were growing up. I arbitrarily said we'll stop when we get to high school, the high school years, and next month we'll do high school to current. And then at the end of every episode, we'll do what we're listening to now, currently, at this moment.
Like right now.
But not right now, because we're recording the show. So right now, if you're listening quietly, we're not listening to anything. You hear that?
Crickets.
Silence. Ah. But here we go. We're going to start at the beginning. Oh, and disclaimer, just so I know it's in the back of your mind. I know you're sweating it, Drew. No, there is not a Drewster Cogburn versus the world. I thought long and hard about putting one in here just to see your fucking face when it pops up.
I would kill you.
But no, the first ever. And then you'd have to edit the show and upload it, so we'd have the first ever podcast murder.
Yeah.
You would have to.
Yes, I would.
So I'm going to have to show you. I'm going to have to show you how to finish editing and
upload.
I
would make hundreds of dollars.
I'm going to have to show you how to do all that.
Hundreds of dollars.
At least. For my audio murder. Yeah. So starting at the beginning, the audio birth of music for us anyway. When I was a kid, I know this happens for a lot of people. You're listening to what your parents were listening to.
You really don't have a choice in the matter.
It's just what it is. And then you're kids. I mean, you don't have any fucking taste in music. You're a stupid kid.
Do you even care?
You don't even care. Whatever makes you feel good is what you're listening to. No. You're a kid. So that, for me, resulted in listening to a lot of Beach Boys, Elvis, stuff like that.
Good stuff.
That's good stuff. There's also some kind of questionable stuff too, like
I'm sure there's plenty of questionable material. I'm sure we'll be talking about plenty of questionable material today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But no, I'm going to start with a banger though. A real banger. Like if this song came out this year,
yeah,
it would be the song of the summer.
Would it?
Especially if it came out this year.
Okay.
Because every song that came out this year that's popular, Daft Punk, Robin Thicke, JT,
yeah,
it all is, well, just ripping off
Marvin Gaye.
Well, no, a little after that. Similar, it's ripping off Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones, the Thriller album.
It's a good duo. Yeah,
I listened to the hell out of the Thriller album.
I can just imagine tiny little Chris Crespo with his glasses and tiny little beard
dancing.
He has, you know, tiny kid, tiny beard.
Always,
yeah, yeah,
a beard.
Exactly.
Born with a beard.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just dancing, grooving out.
Just dancing, yeah, yeah. Dancing my ass off. This was, now, admittedly, when I was a kid and I was listening to Thriller, I was listening to Beat It,
uh-huh,
Billie Jean, and the eponymous Thriller.
Yes.
Those were the songs I was skipping to on the record. The actual record. I had to pick up the needle and put it on the groove and, you know.
That's a lot of work.
Oh, it was awesome, though. It was awesome. But if I had to pick a song now, which I do, I choose this one.
As you've gotten older, taste has changed a bit. Going to the little bit of the deeper cuts.
The deeper cuts, obviously. Everyone's sick of Thriller. Everyone's sick of Billie Jean. Everyone's sick of that stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
But listen to this. This sounds like, if this came out now, it sounds like Pharrell did it. Because he was just ripping off Quincy Jones this whole time.
And Michael T. Oh, yeah.
Listen to his grooves for a second here. Hold on.
Increase the bass a little bit. Just a little bit. Give it a little bit more bass.
I wish I could.
No. I was like, to make it a hit today.
Oh,
all you'd have to do is add a little bit of bass.
Make it a hit today, add some bass, yeah.
Just a little bit of bass.
Yeah, the kids do love the bass.
Yes.
So add a little bit more bass. This is a club banger.
Yes.
And I mean, really, how's anyone going to say no to Thriller?
You can't.
The whole album, start to finish, is incredible.
Fantastic.
But this song, Wanna Be Starting Something, is so good. I almost went with PYT, Pretty Young Things, because that's actually a song that I have been listening to a lot lately.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I've been hooked on PYT.
You've been staring at a lot of little girls there, Chris?
I'm just saying it's a great song. I'm just saying it's a great song!
Getting your creepy old man on.
But this is an awesome, awesome song, too. So, representing my early years with some Thriller. It's kind of looking back with rose-colored glasses, too.
Yeah, good stuff.
But there you go. So, Drew, tell us a little bit about you. You've grown up.
Well, same as you. Growing up, listening to what my parents listened to.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of the classics. My dad was into more of the rock stuff. My mom was into more of the lighter stuff. But for some reason, they both crossed paths at one singular very, very Floridian artist.
Oh, really? The hard rock and the light rock met in the middle.
At Jimmy Buffett. And it's the weirdest thing ever. And I mean, growing up in Florida, everybody knows about Jimmy Buffett, but I know a little bit more. I mean, I had the box set at my disposal from, you know, the age of however.
Yeah.
So
you're immersed in the Buffett.
Yeah.
All right. So what song did you pick here?
This is off the Off to See the Lizard album. It's called Carnival World.
Since I am trying to, you know, do this all Bobo style off the YouTube mobile, I couldn't find a cut off the album available on the YouTube.
Yeah.
But I do have a live version, live in Anguilla.
It's the same song. Oh, great. A bunch of drunk parrot heads are there.
Yeah. Cheering in the background.
Yep, drinking rum and getting wasted.
So let's see. We'll see what we got here. It's all live.
Oh, yeah, this was blasting through my house every afternoon at 3 o'clock.
This was it for you at the house?
Yeah,
Carnival World?
Well, at this point in time, like, once the Jimmy Buffett started playing, then I knew that my mom was getting into a cleaning phase.
Cleaning phase?
Because for some reason, she always cleaned the Jimmy Buffett.
Really?
So, at that point in time, I just decided to dip out of the house. Like, the Buffett's on.
Buffett's
I think
on.
I should go see if my friend's home.
We're not. I'm not getting roped in any vacuuming.
No. Not at all.
That's funny.
But then, you know, as I've aged and progressed, I've found an appreciation for it in my own right.
I enjoyed a Buffett. It's very easygoing music. I know a lot of people, for some reason, it's really turns them off, which I don't understand. It's a little too innocuous to hate.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it is very...
it's very airy.
Yeah, very round edges, not sharp at all.
It's like saying, I hate whipped cream.
Yeah, no, exactly.
What did whipped cream do to you?
I mean, it's white, it's fluffy, it's a lot like Jimmy Buffett, actually.
Jimmy Buffett's all like whipped cream. It's fluffy, it doesn't have much flavor.
No, it's white, it's very, very white.
Very soft, it's not going to hurt you at all.
Nope.
Maybe if you're lactose intolerant and you have iron.
Perhaps.
But Jimmy Buffett, all right, that's cool. I dig Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
All right, so let me just
listen to that at a lot of vacations.
Right on.
Especially when we would go sailing.
I mean, yeah, Jimmy Buffett definitely makes me think the beach.
The beach town. Beaches, boats, and bars.
And then
those
are
the three things I think when I think Buffett.
And then there's the whole thing where they say he stole Key West, right?
Yeah.
The Keys. He stole Key West culture. That laid-back culture. And that sound, he apparently stole it.
But at the same point in time... when Buffett started, I mean, when A1A came out, that was like the mid-70s. There was no Key West culture. There was nobody down there.
Oh, true.
There was nothing but a bunch of drunks and pirates.
So that's the culture he was stealing. Drunk white pirate culture.
But he was down there doing it. But he was down there doing it all himself. He just kind of made that scene popular.
And then they're all like, "Oh, screw this guy for making us popular."
Yeah. Man. Even though, I mean, it's great stuff.
Bunch of damn
all the dude talks about, at least in his earlier albums, is getting drunk and off rum, losing things, and running reefer through the Caribbean. It's ridiculous.
There you go. Good old Buffett. They have one of his planes over at the City Walk there.
Uh-huh.
You notice it out there? It's right across from his restaurant, Margaritaville.
I don't think I noticed it.
There, he has one of
I really hate that restaurant.
You're not a fan of it?
It's... Food is terrible.
Yeah, I might.
It's very theme parky.
You know, if you guys want to be a sponsor one day, it's cool. Margaritaville, I still like you guys. Well, anyway, they have one of his planes out there, and it's supposed to be one of his actual planes that he would fly around.
He probably ran some reefer.
Apparently, because you know, I have my brother worked there for a little while, so he got all the ins and outs of the whole place.
Yeah.
Apparently, somewhere on the plane, there's a bunch of bullet holes from when someone tried to shoot him down.
Yep, probably were running
around. But we were there, and we looked around. We couldn't find them. Yeah. I don't know, so maybe they patched them up. I have no idea. Maybe some maintenance guy accidentally patched up Jimmy Buffett's bullet holes.
Ugh.
Dope.
That'd be terrible.
Old classic Simpsons reference. So moving on. That's when we were younger, when we were kids. That's what our parents had us listening to. And, you know, there's some good stuff in there. There's also, I'm sure, you know, Led Zeppelin and Queen and stuff like that.
All,
we're listening to all the classic rock. That all goes without saying. But going from there, right when I started actually developing my own taste of music, you know, and this is right around, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, those years, very impressionable years for them tykes and what they take in. That's right around the grunge phase. The Seattle explosion of the early 90s. Some of our younger listeners might be like, what's this all about? Guys, imagine disco, same lifespan, but way dirtier and grimier. That's grunge.
Yeah, pretty much.
It only lasted for a few years, really, in its heyday.
Everybody stopped taking showers.
Everyone stopped taking showers and wearing plaid. They started wearing plaid. They stopped taking showers.
Really dirty jeans.
And all the music was like very, you know, kind of sad.
And I hate myself type music.
You know, like angst ridden.
Uh-huh.
Yes, absolutely. We can all thank Nirvana for that. I love Nirvana.
Everybody does.
Not everybody. There's people who, you know, who hates Nirvana?
Who?
80s metal fans. They hate Nirvana.
Well,
I've heard plenty of interviews with 80s metal dudes who are still trying to wave that flag to this day.
Well, that's because...
And you bring up Nirvana,
Nirvana
and like, oh,
killed it.
Exactly. That's one of the many great things Nirvana did.
I know.
They got rid of that horrible,
killed
horrible
bad metal.
Oof, the worst metal. The worst. So Nirvana, they're huge. I love them. Also from that time period, Pearl Jam, they're still around.
Yeah.
Still rocking. I think they just put out an album, actually.
Well, I mean, Dave Grohl's still around and kicking.
Dave Grohl's doing his thing. I mean, Foo Fighters became one of the biggest bands ever. And
yeah.
They're a post-grunge band for sure. I mean, their first albums were...
Well, I mean, of all the post-grunge bands, he was grunge.
He was the closest one. He was the closest one to the touchstone to the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Soundgarden, they started kind of metal and then went with the grunge thing and then kind of went rock and roll for a while there. But I've always liked them. But probably Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, love it. Love me some STP.
STP. But probably one of my most favorite bands from that time period is Alice in Chains.
Awesome.
The most metal and saddest of all the bands now that you look back on it.
Man, heroin's just one of those things, man.
Oh, heroin. Lane Staley, rest in peace, man.
Seriously.
They found him. They found him. Like, he was dead for days when they found him at his place. That's sad.
Well, I mean, at that point in time, I'm sure if you didn't hear from Lane for a week or two, it was no big thing.
No.
He was probably in some dark room shooting up.
Yeah, people were used to him disappearing for a while.
Oh,
oh man, that makes me very sad. But this is all about music and the joy of music. And even though it was kind of depressing music on the face of it,
The music itself was awesome.
Music itself was awesome and made me feel great. And this whole album, Dirt, the entire album of Dirt from front to... I could listen to the whole album right now.
Front to back.
So good. So incredible. Rooster was one of my favorite songs ever for a while there. I'll just go ahead and start with... I'll just play a little bit of Them Bones for you guys. Here we go. Well, you got to check this out for a second. Some of you remember this, I'm sure, right?
How can you do it? It was on, Guitar Hero, I think?
Was Them Bones on Guitar Hero? That's good. opens up.
I think so.
A whole new generation to Alice in Chains.
Yeah, yeah. I used to go to the laser light shows at the Bishop Planetarium for Alice in Chains.
Oh, did you now?
Yeah, yeah. Very much under the influence.
Under the influence of brownies.
Yes. Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And some of those left-handed cigarettes.
Oh. Lady's got that. His voice was once described to me as, you know when you would listen to a tape, a cassette tape, and the batteries were dying, so it would slow down slightly? That's how this band and these vocals were described to me once by someone's dad.
Whenever my buddy Brian White turned me on to Alice in Chains, and he was just like, imagine if Rush just got dirty. And I was like, okay, because, you know, the guy, he's kind of got a higher voice.
He does sometimes, yep.
So
yeah, he does. And then he does all the harmonizing with Jerry Cantrell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alice in Chains has moved. They put out an album recently.
They put out
a couple albums without Lane Staley.
With the guy who sounds just like him.
He does sound pretty similar to
him. It's creepy, dude.
But I don't know. It's like...
It's not Lane, though. It's just... It's not the same.
Yeah, well, they're still bringing in the money. They're bringing in that Alice in Chains money.
Are they bringing in the Alice in Chains money?
Yeah, so it's...
Is it still a hot ticket?
It's the same money. Oh, people are seeing them. Yeah, they're torn. I don't know how hot the ticket is. No, I'm not seeing him. But hey, we have... what's it called? Standards?
I mean, if you can call them that.
Or deplete the bank accounts, one or the other.
That too. Both, actually.
So that was very informative years for me for music. Rock and roll, for me, for a while, was just that grunge, kind of metal, early to mid-90s stuff.
You see, during that time, I'm obviously growing up in Florida, punk was really popular.
Makes sense.
Back then, so I had a little bit more of a punk influence.
That makes sense.
During that time period.
All right, so... But is that what do you want to talk about punk next? What was your next song going to be?
Well, I mean, you kind of jumped the gun. I was still way back in the past.
Oh, that's fine. I didn't mean to do that.
I'm still stuck in maybe when I'm like 11, 12.
Well, that's the same age range. That's when I was listening to the grunge stuff.
But you know, obviously,
I mean, we're almost the same age.
Yeah, so. Yeah. My once again, my mom and her freaking record player always on. Listen to a lot of Clapton.
Oh yeah.
And that's where I got my appreciation for guitar work.
Absolutely. You know who that was for me? I almost put a song in there. Hendrix.
Really?
Yeah. Around those years.
That was Hendrix for you?
When I heard Voodoo Child around the same age, 11, 12 years old, that changed everything I thought I knew about music.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, what is this?
Exactly.
And it came out decades before.
Yeah.
I was even around to appreciate it, you know, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But for you, it was Clapton. All right.
Yeah, Clapton.
And you picked good old little bit of cocaine?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was really funny. I knew all the words to this song
right
before I even knew what cocaine was.
It was one of those things.
So, like, you know, I'd be at home singing the song, and then, you know, I got older and experienced some things, and I'm sitting here going to myself, What is going on? Seriously, I was 11 years old singing about this shit.
What
the hell is wrong with me?
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, it was a wake up call.
Yeah, listen to a little bit of this this guitar work from Mr. Clapton. That white man's blues.
It's good, man.
It is good.
I mean, hell. Since this has come out, Clapton's done stuff with B.B. King and all sorts of weird, crazy people.
He's a legend.
Got heavy into the blues.
He's a legend, man.
He was a legend before he made this song.
Yeah.
I mean, this was...
Well, with Cream and all that? Yeah.
Exactly. This is his solo work. You know, don't even remember, you know, don't even bother talking about all the stuff he did with all the super bands.
Absolutely.
Before then.
Yeah, Clapton, I mean, come on. Can't say a bad thing about the guy.
He's a living legend.
He's an old man there now.
Oh, he's totally old.
So it's
he's old and British.
So now it's like, I don't want to see it live or anything.
Yeah,
no. I can listen to some of his old stuff.
I don't even want to listen to his new music either.
Right.
It just gets softer as he gets older.
Ah, Clapton.
I mean, at least in this song, he's still got a little bit of a rock feel to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's a classic song.
Yeah.
It's an absolute
It's not
classic
like it's
song.
Tears from Heaven or anything.
Is that the one?
About his son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's so depressing.
Oh, my goodness. What's the first line? Like, if I see you in heaven, would you know my name?
No,
or something like that?
Would you know my name if I saw you in
heaven? Oh, yeah. Bringing us down, man. You're bringing us down, Eric. Bro. Bruh.
Seriously, chill it out.
All right. Also, around the same time, now, a lot of that, while I was listening to that grunge music, I grew up in a kind of a religious household. You know,
okay.
I'm not. I guess I'll go ahead and say which religion. It was Muslim. I grew up Muslim.
Sure you did.
No, I grew up in a very Christian household, and my parents and my mother really, thanks mom, she really hammered home the, she really wanted me to listen to Christian music, and you know, when it came to like secular music, she,
I had a couple of buddies like that.
Yeah, you know, it happens. She tried to limit what I listened to, you know, from the real world, and she was like, here, why don't you listen to this Christian based stuff. So I had to sort through all that to, like, you know, I had to find stuff
that was listenable.
That was, you know, yeah.
That wasn't Amy Grant.
Yes.
It's okay. I've been there. Amy Grant. I feel your pain.
MXPX.
Oh, MXPX was deceptive because they were not a bad punk act.
They were pretty good punk.
And then
they were pretty good.
And then you listened to the lyrics and it was like, oh.
It was like, oh, they keep talking about Jesus.
You're rocking for the Lord.
They keep talking about Jesus and they ain't talking about their lawn guy.
Exactly.
What is this?
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and some of it is. Some of that was okay. The MXPX was cool. They crossed over too. They totally went the whole, we built up our fan base. Now let's put out a normal record and see what happens. And oh, we're popular. Wow.
Yeah,
we're making money. Look at that. That's
funny.
That's wild how that works.
Yeah.
But all the searching and all that, I think it worked out for me because I did find a few bands that are actually quite good. One of them, I really don't listen to them anymore, but this is a band called Mortification.
Mortification.
I'm pretty sure they're Australian.
Okay.
Maybe New Zealand. Maybe they were Kiwis.
Okay.
So they were Kiwis or they were Aussies. I can't remember. From that general part of the world.
Yeah.
But they were totally diehard Christian. All the lyrics were like straight up, you know. Like
for the Lord.
Like looks Jesus like it came out of a hymnal. Right. Yeah. But the music was 100% late 80s, early 90s death metal.
Eight ladies.
Nerly IDs Eth Dettel.
Nice.
Totally straight up. And at this one song called The Majestic Infiltration of Order.
That's pretty freaking epic.
It's a pretty metal sound, right?
Yeah, it sounds pretty metal.
The whole song is 1 minute long, and there's only there's a two word chorus, and they do the chorus twice, no verses.
What?
And the whole song, the chorus is God Rules. So it's like God rules. God rules. Like that. That's the Majestic Infiltration of Order. God rules.
So weird.
It was, yeah. It was fantastic. So I loved it. And my favorite part was having my mom listen to it on like my CD player.
Yeah.
Like, because she wanted to hear what I was listening to. So here you go. This is Christian stuff and it's Mortification. She's just shaking her head. Damn it. We found a loophole.
Christian metal.
But this one band, Living Sacrifice, because that's what Jesus was. He was a living sacrifice.
Yes,
they blew the doors of all the other bands. They were awesome. They started in like the mid to late 90s, and they put out an album like a year or two ago.
Oh, wow.
So they broke up for a while for sure.
Still rocking.
I know for sure they broke up, but they put out an album recently, and they got to be in their 40s by now, if not older.
That's weird.
Yeah, but
now they're old Christian metal.
Metal guys. And we're talking metal. This is one of these bands that they get more metal as the years progress. Because I guess it's just easier to just be heavier.
Yeah.
But this is from, like, even though this is all about a culmination of a journey. So I am jumping ahead to a song from, like, around 99, 2000
mm-hmm.
in the timeline. But it's a culmination of, like, a 10, 15-year journey of listening to all this Christian music and then finding the band.
And really terrible Christian music.
A lot of terrible Christian music. But this is the band. Sometimes Sunday is another. Sometimes Sunday was the grunge version of this band because they were actually good. And they only put out.
And they were only Sometimes Sunday.
Only Sometimes Sunday. And they put out two albums and they were done.
Good for them.
And the first one is, oof, I have it somewhere. Here we go. Let's check out some of this Living Sacrifice. Again, another band where if you listen to this, if it came out today, it all sounds like it would fit in perfectly. I mean, it's pretty metal. And they did the thing where they had a normal drummer, then another drummer on the side.
With his own side drummer.
Hear that? Side drummer. And they were totally like that. I saw them live twice.
Uh-huh.
Like two-thirds of the way through the set, they'll totally like all their instruments will be ringing out, and they'll be up there praying. You'll see them pray before they start the set, They pray, they turn around, and then they melt everyone's faces with metal. And then partway through the set, they stop and they pray. And then they finish it off with more metal.
The Christian metal scene has always confused me. Why? It's devil's music for the Lord.
They're reclaiming the music.
It's like, what? It doesn't make any sense.
They're reclaiming it.
From who? Slayer? That's not going to happen.
No.
Sorry.
No, Slayer does.
Slayer owns.
They have a death grip on that.
Seriously.
But Living Sacrifice, if you ask me, I've seen them live, man. I've listened to a bunch of their albums. They'll give them a run.
It's not Slayer.
They'll give them a run. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Check, sorry. A little bit of a breakdown. Alright, well, that's some Living Sacrifice. A culmination of a journey of many years of listening to Christian music, ended up with that. And now, of course, listen to Zayo and August Burns.
Ah, Zayo's awesome. So is ABR.
But those guys are like, they straddled that line.
Yeah, they really do.
We're Christian, but...
Kind of!
Can you tell? That's the game. Alright, so... Didn't mean to jump ahead in the timeline, because we're still talking about when we were younger. Early teenage years.
I mean, even so...
Where did you go after Clapton? What was, like, your...
Well, after Clapton, like I said, it was... then came, you know, I got into middle school, and it was punk. And so it was a lot of Green Day, a lot of Pennywise.
Oh,
and if you've heard one Pennywise song, you've heard them all.
Yes.
You know, Operation Ivy, the... I was kind of into ska for a little bit.
Okay. Did you ever listen to Mephiscopheles?
I don't think so. And then the grunge scene happened. But the reason why I liked punk and the grunge so much was because it was heavy,
right?
And it was fast.
Ah.
And then my buddy was like, "Oh, here's this band that I listen to all the time. Its name's Metallica."
Metallica, what?
And I'm sitting there going, no, I mean, because the Black Album was popular, and that was, I mean, some songs off the Black Album were radio, even radio friendly.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
But he turned me, and I wasn't really into that much, but Matt Miliano, good friend of the show, friend of ours.
Published author Matt Miliano.
Yes,
Love the Miliano.
He gave me a copy of Master Puppets, and I put it in my CD player, and this song played because it's the first track off Master of Puppets.
It is the first track.
And from start to finish, I listened to the whole freaking album, and I was just like, I found it. This is what I'm looking for. What do you call this? He was like, it's metal, dude. And I was, ever since then, man, it's been on.
Well, of course, Metallica tracks on YouTube ain't going to happen because of copyright issues. But there is some live 89 Metallica.
It's just as good.
Almost better.
I've seen Metallica live. It's awesome.
They put out a lot of those awesome concert videos back in the day.
Oh, dude, Miliano's got the box. Had a couple of the box sets.
Yeah. Those 80s and 90s concert videos were great.
Well, this
and I think that's where this is off of.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him a couple times. I've seen him once, and it was with. But it was after they did the alternative thing where they kind of toned it down.
Oh, the whole load thing.
Load, reload. But still, I wished I'd seen them in their heyday. Man, what?
Like this, 89,
oh
my, man.
Oh, dude.
That's
I was
right.
Seven. I was seven.
They were so good. Metallica is another one of those.
Battery!
I listened to the hell out of Metallica.
Oh, dude, it's so good. And I mean, from Kill 'Em All to, you know, Ride the Lightning and then... Master of Puppets and then Injustice for All. It's just, it's a freaking onslaught, dude.
I want to say that the album, I'm trying to remember who handed me the first Metallica album that I listened to. I think the first one that I listened to that I then ended up getting on CD, one of the first CDs I bought, was Ride the Lightning.
Nice.
I think it was like Fade to Black and those songs that like really, I was like, whoa, Creeping Death.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, when I heard Orion for the first time, I was like...
Epic. I was like, what is going
on here?
Yeah, but that album, that through the Black Album, it's like... That's one, two, that's four albums of just amazingness.
Yeah.
Perfect metal awesomeness.
Yes.
So Metallica was it, and then that was your foray into
metal.
Into metal.
Yes.
There you go.
And I've never looked back. I mean, it's kind of hard to.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to look back. Once you get to metal, it's like, ugh. You know. Once you do crank, are you going to go back to just coke?
No.
I mean, come on.
No, exactly. Well, once you go to metal, you can't just go back to hard rock. It just doesn't fill the need anymore. I mean, and at this point in time, Metallica doesn't even fill the need anymore. Like, no. I've got to get my rocks off, I've got to listen to, like, the Black Dahlia Murder and shit like that.
It's got to be even more intense.
Oh, it's got to sound like hell is coming up underneath me.
Well, but before, let me see. That was your, we should have been counting these off. That was song number three for both
of us. Yes, for both of us.
We have two songs left to go. You went into the metal.
Yes.
Before you got into hip hop.
Correct.
I, even though I already played that Living Sacrifice, right. I was into rock and roll. Rock and a roll.
Yeah.
But I got more into hip hop before I got into metal.
Well, I mean, that's probably because you're. Where'd you grow up?
Because of what? What are you, what are you trying to say?
Where'd you grow up, Chris?
What are you trying to say? Where'd you grow up? What are you trying to say? Actually, no, I did not. I grew up in New York City.
Exactly. That
I grew up in New York City at a time when the radio played regional music.
Exactly. So yeah, so you're listening. For all intents and purposes, you were listening to the best hip hop that was ever created
at that time
when it was being created. And it was on the radio for you,
pretty much.
Lucked out.
Some of that West Coast stuff wasn't crossing over, obviously.
Yeah.
East Coast, West Coast,
no,
bullshit.
Exactly.
All that crap. But, yeah. New York City, I was listening to on the radio. I got hooked on this stuff through the radio. And then I got the albums Onyx, Naughty by Nature, Cypress Hill, Beastie Boys. It's pretty ridiculous when you look back on it.
No, exactly.
And then, of course, spending most of my time in Staten Island, Shaolin, Rugged Lands of Shaolin, Wu-Tang Clan represent. You could not get the fuck away from this goddamn song the summer it came out, man. M-E-T-H-O-D, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Method Man. Here it is. Old E.B. Rest in peace, O.D.B.
Raekwon the Chef.
Oh, man.
Ghostface Killah. O.D.B.
I mean, everyone loves the song.
It's a classic.
It's a classic song. I mean, living in Staten Island, they rep Staten Island. It was already a super popular song. Of course, they're going to play crazy on the radio. And I remember at that time I was listening to one station. I want to say it was 92.3 back at the time, which is still the rock station in New York right now.
Uh-huh.
That's like where Stern, when he was on mornings in New York, that was his station, 92.3. Okay. I think back in the early 90s, it was either that one or 104.1 would play both rock and rap.
Wow.
Whatever was popular, they were just playing it. So you would hear Wu-Tang and like Rage Against the Machine back to back.
That's awesome.
It was great. Oh, those were the days of when radio was good.
Yeah.
Now it sucks.
Terrible.
That's why we're doing the podcast.
Exactly.
Because we're all in this together. So Wu-Tang, biggest thing ever. That's... obviously, what I rep the hardest, and to this day, I probably still like 36 Chambers more than any other hip hop album. I mean, nah.
Deltron 3036.
I
know,
right? Nah, but Wu-Tang. I mean, Wu-Tang is it. I love the W.
The Wu.
Wu-Tang, Killer Bees on the Swarm. Casuals, Everything Around Me.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera.
With money.
You know the Method Man song, that single, that was actually the B-side for something else.
Really?
Yeah, I forgot which. Maybe it was Bring the Ruckus. I can't remember. But
bring the motherfucking ruckus.
They sent out another single to all the stations, and it got ignored. And then someone flipped it and played side B. And people were calling up, play that song again, play that song again. Like old school style.
Yeah.
And then it caught on, and then Wu-Tang, biggest thing ever.
Yeah, there you go.
Crazy, crazy story. So that was me getting into hip-hop.
Yeah.
How did you get into hip-hop? What's your number four?
Well, but,
well,
I mean,
actually, is this your number four? This is your number four.
Yeah, this is my number four.
Right, so we both did hip-hop for number four. Look at that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously, down here in Florida, punk was big. Hip-hop wasn't. I mean, it was on the radio, but it was just the popular stuff.
Yeah. You
know, there wasn't really a big hip-hop scene.
A lot of Rex and FX.
Exactly.
All I want to do is...
A lot of the down south really dirty hip hop was being played on the radio.
Stuff.
Yeah,
that
well,
makes sense.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
I mean, I used to fall asleep listening to the Power Pig and the freaking Humpty Dance and shit like that.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, Humpty Dance. What's his name? What's his name?
Who?
Humpty Hump.
Oh, I forget.
Is it just Humpty Hump?
I remember what his name is.
No. He follows me on Twitter.
I remember the dance, though.
But I think he follows everyone on Twitter.
Oh, Do Me Baby.
Do Me Baby.
Do the hump, do hump. I used to fall asleep to that song.
Getting busy in the Burger King bathroom. I mean, that's just the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Like, in the Burger King bathroom, that's crazy.
Seriously.
But now you know. He probably did that.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've done that.
So, if that was some of the popular rap at the time, I mean, what did you get into?
Well, I started hanging out with some people, and we all thought we were of a different skin color that we were for a little while.
What are you trying to say?
Kind of thought I might have been African American for a couple of months.
All right.
It was really ugly, and I'm really glad I got out of it. But I still kept listening to hip hop.
Okay. You kept the one thing that mattered.
Yeah, exactly. I dropped the act.
In your appropriation of black culture.
Yes. All right. I dropped the act and I kept the music.
Drew, don't be embarrassed by it. That's what white people do.
Oh, God, it was terrible. I was so young and so stupid.
That's what white people do.
But, you know, got into the Tupac, the Biggie. But one of the albums that always stuck with me and that I could just pop in and start, and it would just sit in my CD player for a couple of days, you know, was Bone Thugs and Harmony, East 1999 Eternal.
Oh,
that album,
man,
is freaking amazing.
It's a ridiculous
album. It is so fantastic. The way that these guys just, the way that their flows work together, and I mean, yeah, they're talking about some pretty foul things.
Yeah.
Killing people and slinging crack.
Yeah, the old school gangster rap stuff, right?
Oh, but man, but just the sound that they had, like, seriously, like, Key and Peele did a skit, Homeless Moan. Have you seen it?
I don't think I've seen that one.
Dude, it's Key and Peele, and they're homeless, but they're all singing like Bone Thugs and Harmony. Oh, a Homeless Moan, why don't nobody do this no more? It's fucking hilarious, dude. Because, you know, they were really popular for a while, and then they just dropped off the face of the freaking earth.
They did. I wonder why. Maybe because it's such a unique sound.
Maybe.
Because they went straight up, like, they went gangster rap. They went actually kind of G-funk with crazy melodies and harmonies.
Yeah, it was almost a cappella.
It was a cappella meets G-funk.
Yeah.
And people were like, what is this? It's great. And
it is.
We're sick of it.
And, I've listened to a lot of other Bone Thugs, too, but the first album stands out head and shoulders above the rest. It's just because it was produced by Eazy.
Oh, yeah.
Only album produced by him.
Absolutely.
So
this is Mo Murda.
Yes.
This is what he picked.
Mo Murda. Yeah, they're talking about killing people. Doing shots with their Glocks and their shotguns. I believe one of the lyrics coming up here is run, run, can't get away from my shotgun. Another one of my favorite songs is Mr. Bill Collector about, you know, obviously somebody owing you money and what lengths you will go through to get it back.
Oh, man.
I mean, this whole song is about killing people, but it doesn't sound like it should be. It's the harmonies and the melodies are so...
It sounds like everyone should be
so
dancing.
Good. Yeah.
Sounds like you should be dancing.
It's so good.
Yeah, Bone Thugs is awesome.
And I've never stopped listening to this album. I mean, I really don't listen to any of the other Bone Thugs, even the popular stuff, but this album, true, anytime, I can throw it on and just listen.
You're right. It's the easy thing.
Yeah.
You're right about that. So Bone Thugs, man, that's good stuff right there. Wu-Tang and Bone Thugs, you got a party.
Seriously.
That's a party right there, if you ask me. Alright, so that brings us to the final songs. This is what we were listening to just as we're getting to high school, pretty much. Right, we're talking about now 14, 15, those years.
Yeah, more like 16.
16, yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Because in Crespo Disco number 2, we'll talk about the stuff that we heard in college. And leading up to what we're really getting down with right now, because, you know, tastes change over the years. Well, they should if you're paying attention.
Oh, dude, if taste didn't change, I'd still be listening to Linkin Park and Stained.
Oh, man. If
Shoot me in the face.
Yeah, we would not be friends. Unless my taste didn't change, then I never liked Linkin Park. Stained, I listened to that one Stained album. That one album.
What, the first one?
Because the first one that got popular. I don't know if it was second or the first album.
Well, the one with Mud Shovel on it?
Yeah.
Okay, because that album was almost metal.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's how they get you. Drew.
And then...
You put out one album that's almost metal.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, maybe the next one
will
be even better.
Was almost metal. And then the second album was, and then it just got so much worse from there.
Well, yeah, that's That was an unfortunate trend that started around 2000. That soft metal that you can still hear today. You usually hear these songs in trailers.
It's your Nickelbacks and your Three Doors Down.
Exactly. I was going to say, you see them in trailers for movies that are aimed towards girls, but they involve like killing vampires and stuff. Yeah, that's a bunch of garbage. But those are just trends, right?
Yes.
Those are trends. Trends happen, you know, and usually what's trendy in popular culture, it only lasts for a little while anyway, and it's usually a week. And then meanwhile, there's all the great underground stuff. That's what you want to get into. One of the bands that I listened to, because, you know, around the time hip-hop and the rock and all that, when I got into high school, that's by that time someone had handed me, you know, my first Metallica album, the aforementioned Metallica, and first Slayer album.
Slayer.
So I started getting into the metal. And there was one band that stands, for me, heads and shoulders above all the metal bands of the 90s, 80s and 90s, of all metal bands in general. There's one band that stands far above them all. And they named one of their albums the Great Southern Trendkill.
I love that. Dude, that album, that album ravaged the state of Florida.
It should have.
Florida already had a pretty good metal scene.
Oh, yeah. Florida.
But when that album came out, everybody was all the... Dude, Pantera was huge in the South.
How could they not be? I mean, they embraced their old Southern thing, too. I'm not down with the Rebel Flag thing, but whatever. You know,
those guys can do whatever they want.
We can still be friends. Yeah, they're millionaires.
Yeah.
And, exactly. You know, rest in peace, Dimebag.
Oh, R.I.P.
One of the saddest things ever.
Seriously.
Seriously, one of the saddest things ever. But, you know, they put out this album, Great Southern Trendkill. They literally wanted to kill the trend of just radio-friendly music. That ironically was kind of rebirthed a bit by the grunge stuff that killed the horrible trend that came before it, you know?
Yes.
Great Southern Trendkill never got on the radio. That's a good thing. But
yeah, for appearance, yeah.
For appearance, yeah. Yeah, for sake of appearance. But when this album, I just remember, I'm just going to play the first song. Because when the album starts, you know what these guys are all about. As soon as it starts, you know what they're all about.
Fucking metal.
Yeah, I want you guys to tell me what you think.
Oh, good old Pantera.
Oh, man, and then the grooves kick in, and the drums are so tight, and they got that pop to them. And Dimebag, he's got just the most infectious riffs, and then it goes back and forth between like funky Southern to like just straight up metal, like Slayer style, like thrash metal.
Yeah. These guys definitely have that Southern flair to them, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. That's what separated them, I think, a bit, because they're like Slayer and Lynyrd Skynyrd smashing together. Dump a bunch of whiskey in there.
Yeah. Oh, man. I used to, man.
Blow some bong smoke in there.
I could not tell you how many times, but I mean, you used to go to the mud hole down in Venice with all the rednecks.
Yeah.
And it was beer, weed, girls, and Pantera. And that's all it was. There was no other music playing. It was only Pantera at the mud hole.
Mudhole sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, the mudhole's fun.
Except for all the goddamn mud.
Well, that was the point, though.
Goddamn dirty Southerners.
Yeah. You get a big old pickup truck and throw some tires on it and go out to a giant dirt patch filled with mud and you just drive your car in it and get wasted.
She's a little bit country. I'm a little bit rock and roll. Is that how that goes? So Pantera, I love that stuff. I saw them live once.
Oh, lucky you.
Once. And it was their last tour.
Ah.
It was their tour for Reinventing the Steel. And I even think it might have been the last date of that tour.
Yeah.
But it wasn't their last show. I looked that up. They did a few more shows before they broke up. So it wasn't. But it was the last date of their last official big tour. Who opened for them? Morbid Angel, Florida's Own.
Yeah.
Soulfly.
No.
They're playing at the Social soon.
Seriously, they're still around?
They're still around, and they're playing in a place that holds like 10 people.
That's awesome.
I put on Twitter, if this were 13 years ago, I'd be excited about that.
Of course.
But I'm not.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. But back then, when they opened at Hard Rock Live, it was at Hard Rock. Place was sold out, too, at Hard Rock. Wall-to-wall people. But I had a great spot, and it was so metal.
Of course.
So metal. There was fire on the stage.
Pantera, and, dude.
They played for like 2 hours.
When you talk about metal, there's Pantera, there's Metallica, and then, I mean, add another awesome metal band. But those are like...
That's it.
That's the top two.
That's Slayer.
Yeah.
It's those
and,
three.
And there
it's,
you go. Boom.
It's Metallica, Slayer, and Pantera. Pantera. Yeah. Good old Pantera. So,
the holy trinity of metal. Or the unholy trinity.
Ooh. that's pretty much, to this day, that's still also, I'd say, top three shows I've ever been to. That's an idea for a future episode. Best concerts we've been to. But there we go. That's another episode.
Oh, that's not fair. We've been to too many together.
No, still. You'd be surprised. So that takes me through the end of high school. By the end of high school, it was almost all metal. A little bit of hip hop. By the end of high school, it was mostly Pantera, some Fear Factory, some aforementioned Soulfly. With
maybe
the
some
older
Typo
Sepultura.
Negative.
I love Typo Negative.
Sepultura.
Even though it's Typo Negative, some of that stuff is awful.
It is.
But
everybody was listening to Sepultura.
Sepultura.
Whatever.
Or Sepultura if you're white. And I'm trying to think of other stuff from that era. And Korn, I love the first two Korn albums.
Yeah.
I stopped, Follow the Leader, I had it. I couldn't take that album.
Yeah, it was just,
I know a lot
so
of people
inviting.
Like
it. It was so poppy. It was like pop metal,
it was
almost.
Too poppy.
It was
poppy.
Really overproduced.
And Deftones.
Yeah.
I love Deftones. First few albums. Again, yeah. First few albums. But that's then we're bleeding into college years, so we're gonna save that for the next episode. Drew, what's your number five? How do you
well, I mean, along
your,
those
your formative years of music,
along those same lines, actually, Korn. I mean, that was I listened to a lot of Korn in high school,
right? Korn was pretty crazy stuff.
And
man.
Follow the Leader, actually, when we were just talking about that, yeah. when that
was your jam.
Well, no, when that album came out, they had, I guess, what they were on. Interscope Records. They were on some record company anyway. But they were, you know, this is when Korn was starting that whole family values nonsense.
Okay,
where you know they're trying to start, you know, something.
Which I think they still do, don't they?
I don't know. Do they?
I think they do.
Anyway, you know, they started bringing up all these bands like Limp Bizkit and blah blah blah, yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
But when Follow the Leader came out, I picked it up at the local CD store. You know, just not, it wasn't a chain. It was just an independent
music
store.
Right.
And I got a free sampler CD with it. And it had some really bad music, but there were a couple of standout tracks on it. One of them was Serpent Boy by a band, Head PE.
Head PE.
Who I had never heard of in my life.
Spelled weird, too.
No, exactly. And then New Skin by Incubus was on there, too.
Ah, Incubus.
So that got me into them. But Head PE.
But Head PE
awesome.
Is the one you wanted to point out.
Well, it's because it was a nice blend of everything I was listening to at the time.
I was
into hip hop. I was into metal. Head PE really took that. I mean, it was very popular at the time, you know, with the Linkin Park and the Korn and the Limp Bizkit.
The rap metal thing was becoming a thing.
It wasn't that good. This was rap metal and, as you can tell, kind of funky too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And it was just this whole album just stood out. And it was another one of the cases where I could just, you know, put in the CD and listen to it while I was driving my car for the next, you know, week and a half. And I wouldn't even notice.
Nice. All right, let's listen a little bit of this NPE.
His lyrics were pretty advanced for my ears at the time.
It was heady stuff.
Yeah.
Hey-o!
Hey! So,
I saw these guys live a couple times, but the first time I saw them live, I went to see someone else.
And then it gets metal.
There you go. And then here comes the metal. I went and saw these guys, and I went to see someone else, and these guys opened, and I don't even remember who the other band was.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't even matter.
Yeah, yeah.
I was introduced to Head PE that way.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It was at House of Blues.
That's awesome.
Oh, so good. Such a good show. They have like 10 guys in the band on stage, and they're all, one guy is just playing with a saw blade and shooting sparks into the crowd. Like, that's not even an instrument.
It doesn't matter.
It's not an instrument.
It's like awesome.
It was ridiculous.
Makes no difference if an instrument, if it's awesome, it works.
But yeah, this is, I like this because this is, you did the Metallica and then you did the Bone Thugs, and it all blends together nicely with the Head Pete Reason.
Yeah. And then, I mean, in all reality, you know, I've stopped listening. I haven't listened to Linkin Park in a really long time.
Well, they're not very good.
Same with Korn, you know, same with a lot of that music that I listen to. Yeah, but this,
again, that's not
this
sound
Head
very good.
Album, it stands the test of time.
If I can point out piggyback, if I can, I pop that Pete. If I can piggyback on your rap metal here with the Head PE.
Yeah.
Rap metal from the late 90s I was listening to. I was still in high school, so it still counts because we're talking about high school. Candiria.
Oh, yeah.
C-A-N-D-I-R-I-A. Check that out, people. Candiria. And E-Town Concrete, their first two albums. I've been doing that a lot now, qualifying which albums. E-Town Concrete, the first two albums. Time to Shine and The Second Coming. Fantastic, fantastic blends of rap and metal and hardcore, and in Candiria's case, jazz and funk
what
odyssey.
What about Body
and,
Count?
Well, Body Count is
the one and only Body Count.
Yeah, but Body Count, if you ask Ice-T, he would not say it's rap metal. He would say this is speed metal, straight up.
It's not, though.
I mean, he has a style of delivery which is kind of rapish, but to him, they are a pure speed metal band. Yeah.
It's not the case.
Which
whatever.
I'm down with.
I'm down. That's fine.
I'm down with the Body Count. But
gotta be down with the Body Count.
But we're talking about, yeah, I don't want to get shot. But we're talking about rap metal, E-Town Concrete, Candiria. Check out your Head PE. It's all great
the
stuff.
First album. Well, actually,
the first two albums. Qualifying again, first
two
albums.
Yes, the first two albums. That and what? I think Broke is the name of the second album.
I think so.
And then after that, it gets bad.
After that, it gets like, you're like, whoa, guys. Whoa, guys. All right, so there you go. There's five songs that we listened to growing up. That's how our formative years of music. That's how we shaped ourselves through what we put in through our ears and into our brain. I don't see any negative effects to you. All right, so at the end of each Crespo Disco, we're going to talk about, we're going to, real quick, because, yeah, I was shooting for a lot shorter episode. This is just under an hour.
Nice.
But we're going to mention what we're listening to now. It's not a ripoff of what the hell is Angel listening to. It's what the heck is Chris and Drew checking out now? What the heck
in our ear holes?
What the heck is they checking out now?
What in the heck is we checking out now?
So Drew, let's go ahead and start with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm sure everybody's heard this song, ADHD by Kendrick Lamar. He's been fairly popular recently. It's also on the Grand Theft Auto 5, one of the radio stations. So, you know, as I've been rotting my brain to this video game, you know, every, I don't know, 8-10 minutes or so, this song will come up.
I'm trying to.
And technical difficulty.
Yeah, just give me 1 second. YouTube's trying to show me an ad for Carrie.
Oh, great. Hey, that comes out this weekend, doesn't it?
Yes. So I'm sure when people listen to this episode a year from now, they'll like to know that we recorded this right before.
Yes.
The weekend before Carrie came out. All right, here we go. And all right, here we go. Kendrick Lamar is great.
It's fantastic.
How about Kendrick's verse, yo? How about Kendrick's verse? He showed those fools.
He did.
Actually, I never heard the verse. Fuck
that. Really? You never heard that verse?
Nope. Or maybe I did. I just didn't know what I was listening to.
Angel played it.
That's right.
You were here.
I heard it.
Angel played it.
I just don't pay attention to things. Yeah. I don't pay attention to life.
Exactly. But yeah, so, I mean, it's Kendrick Lamar. He's, you know, pretty much on top of the rap game these days.
He is on top of the game.
I mean, he's just and especially for me, I'm really picky when it comes to my hip hop. You know, I like there to be some substance to it,
right?
As opposed to just, you know, the bling bling and the weed and the hoes. I mean, that's all well and good. I love me some weed and some hoes, But, you know, I like it when they reach for the stars. And
yeah.
Freaking Kendrick Lamar is lyrical genius. So, and now that he's got, you know, Dre behind him, I can't wait to see what's
good
next.
Stuff.
And, I mean, this is off his Section 8 album. So that came out a while ago. Four years.
So that's what Drew is checking out now. Some Kendrick. I faded out kind of hard. Sorry, people. Technical. Stop getting the hang of this thing here.
It's working.
What I need me is an iPad.
Seriously.
Or something.
If you'd like to donate an iPad to Cinema Crespediso, please contact us at cinemacrespediso@gmail.com.
Thank you, Drew. Appreciate that. What I've been listening to lately is not new at all. I just had it. Or here we go. Not new at all. This band has been around, what, since early 2000s, Drew?
We're talking. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, early 2000s.
You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this little band called Pinback.
A little band? That was the last concert I went to.
Actually, yeah, it was the last concert. Well, that Pinback show was great at the social.
It was fantastic.
Pinback, they're like, aren't they?
It's two dudes.
They're two dudes. And weren't they from like another, aren't they from other bands or something?
Something like that.
I thought they were from like other bands where at the time were a little more popular.
Yeah.
And then they put out a Pinback album and people liked it. So they put out another one. And then Pinback got more popular than whatever their shitty other bands were.
Exactly.
So Pinback, here we go. I've been just listening to all of their stuff, like literally all of it.
It's
on a mix.
It's
on a
good.
Loop.
A lot of it's really good.
So,
you either get high tempo or low tempo.
Well,
those are your options.
We're going high tempo right now. We're going to close out the show with some high tempo Pinback. Here's some Penelope.
One of my favorite songs.
This is a fantastic show. Fantastic. I was going to say fantastic show. It's a fantastic song. It was a fantastic show.
It was a fantastic show. Those two dudes can rock the hell out.
It was a good time. But on stage, there's more than two guys though. Right, I mean, they had a drummer.
Yeah, they had a drummer
there. They have a touring band.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's one guy. It's that one fat guy.
And then one skinny guy.
And then the fat guy, hey, that sounds familiar. And the fat guy tried to get it up on the bar.
Yes.
To sing up from
it
the bar.
It did not work.
And he couldn't get up there because he was too fat.
Yep.
And, like, no one wanted to help him. Nope. Everyone just stood back and watched this fat guy try to sing and jump up on the bar at the same time.
It was fun.
It was, like, 3 feet away from us.
Yeah.
I was just laughing. And then I was thinking, if he does get up to that bar,
it's gonna be awesome.
That bar's gonna break.
Well, that, and it would be, what, like the third time I've had a band person on that bar behind me at a show.
Yeah. That's you're a magnet for that stuff, dude.
Dude, every freaking time I go to a show at the social, somebody from some band ends up at the bar behind me.
On the bar, rocking out their guitar, like the Dillinger show, Dillinger Skate Plan. Like, and we were right
dude,
there.
You that was an odd experience only because I didn't notice that he had left the stage.
I was too busy looking at the stage and noticed that he had walked around.
No,
and
exactly.
Was on the bar,
and then
he was standing right behind us.
Everybody, the reason that I realized that he was behind us was
everyone
because
turned around.
Everybody turned around and was staring at you and me, and literally we look up and he has 1 foot behind me and 1 foot behind you, and he's just dripping sweat on us, just rocking. Out.
Rocking
like,
out.
Oh, the dude from Dillinger Escape Plan's literally behind me. Like, oh, that's his foot poking into my back.
And then we just stood there with our arms crossed,
yep,
like we were his bodyguards. Like, okay, we can do this. We can play this role.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was awesome.
That was fun. All right, so there you go. That was Crespo Disco number one for October 2013. What do you think, Drew?
It was pretty good.
It was fun, right?
I was
fun talking about music for a change instead of movies.
Yeah, and I was surprised actually at how long-winded we were
about music, right?
Yeah,
right.
I figured this would have been just a quick little done, couple words, couple this, and it just
I like Nirvana,
into,
and then play
yeah exactly.
Teen Spirit. No
yeah.
Man, we got opinions, bro. We got opinions, and people just got an hour load of it. So if you're still listening,
that's a big load of opinions.
If you're still listening to this part of the show, send an email to cinemacrespediso@gmail.com with the keyword. Give me a keyword, Drew. With the keyword,
that's three H's, by the way.
UHHH, and we'll send you something in the mail. We'll send you a prize. Here you go. That's how we do things on Cinema Crespediso. So thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome, sir.
Hit up Drew on Twitter at antihero419. Talk to him about music. What do you thought about his choices? Hit me up on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo. Tell me what you thought about mine. Give us your choices. Tell us what you listened to growing up. And we'll reminisce about the days when music was better and not like the noise that the kids are listening to now.
That freaking dubstep.
Oh, we'll do a dubstep episode for sure.
Oh, that wobble bass.
Wobble, 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 yub, yub, yub. So there you go. Thanks for that, guys. And we are out of here. So peace.